You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is David Siegel, and welcome to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. Well, after talking to Lisa Leslie last week, we're back on the college basketball circuit this time. This season is more than 50% completed now, and while the top four, Baylor, Notre Dame, Connecticut, and Stanford, aren't really a surprise, there has been a number of surprises that you may or you may not know about. So on this week's podcast, I'm presenting to you four different segments, each covering something that you may not know about this year's women's college basketball season, but probably should. First up is Delaware head coach Tina Martin. Now, you may be saying to yourself, I know about Delaware. They're number 13 in the coaches poll, and I certainly know about Elena Deladon. What I'm guessing you don't know is that this is not the Elena Deladon show only. They're a talented team with two BCS conference transfers that are playing great team ball. Coach Martin and I discuss the team, and yeah, we do talk about that Elena kid some too. Now, Stanford has the Igwumike sisters. UConn has Hartley Hayes and Mosquita Lewis. Tennessee has Johnson and Strickland. And Ohio State has Perhalis and Hill. It's the year for tandems, but in Lincoln, Nebraska, there might be the best duo, and neither of them made the Wooden Award top 20 list. Junior Lindsey Moore averages 16 points and 6 assists per game, while sophomore Jordan Hooper scores just under 20 points per game with 9.5 rebounds. In their first year in the Big Ten, they have Nebraska right there with Purdue and Ohio State at the top of the conference. And I talked to the two best friends about their seasons. I think that you'll really enjoy that segment and getting to know these two charming young ballers. The two top four teams in the nation in scoring margin this year are Baylor, Notre Dame, Connecticut, and the Florida Gulf Coast University. Yes, you heard me right. Carl Smesko has created a spread offense that thrives on the three-point shot, and from the A-Sun Conference, they're knocking on the door to the top 25. They have two losses, one to Seton Hall in their first game of the season, and one to the ACC's North Carolina State. This is their first year of NCAA tournament eligibility after moving up from Division II status, and they're going to startle some teams for sure. Coach Smesko and I discussed his team and his offense, a program that has won 84% of its games since coming into existence 9 years ago. And since I'm in Connecticut, and for the Husky faithful that does listen to our show, we also talked about Director of Basketball Operations, Mel Thomas, and how she's doing down there. Then finally, in upstate New York, St. Bonaventure University has a student body of 2,000. Yet it finds itself number 26 in this week's AP poll and on top of an Atlantic 10 conference dominated the last few years by Xavier. Like Florida Gulf Coast, they only have two losses, and they're also the big-time teams, one to Delaware and one to Villanova. They won at West Virginia, and they've won at St. John's. They do it with defense, and they do it with efficiency. They're first in the conference in field goal percentage defense, first in rebounding defense, and second in scoring defense. They have all five starters back from last year, and the Bonnies are making a run for the NCAA tournament. I spoke to their coach, Jim Crowley, who has taken the program from 6-22 in 2002-2003 to four straight 20-win seasons. So hopefully you'll come away from this week's show knowing a little more about some programs and some players than you did before. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, thank you for listening.
Becky Hammond of the San Antonio Silver Stars, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you to Dishin' and Swishin' on Hoopfeed. This week's podcast has a bit of a theme to it, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that you don't know or you may not know, and really I think that you should know about this year's women's college basketball season. And you know, obviously, when I mentioned that Delaware is involved in this week's show, you know, your natural response may be, you know, well, we know about Delaware. They're knocking on the top 10's door, and we certainly know about Elena Deladon. But I have Coach Tina Martin with me right now, and we're going to talk about the fact that you don't necessarily know much about this Delaware team. Coach, how are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Coach, I've seen a couple of games from Delaware. First thing that people may not know is that a lot of the games are streamed, which is fantastic for our fans to watch. But I was watching the James Madison game the other night, which was phenomenal. And people may not realize that this is not just the Elena Delladon show at Delaware. Coach, you've done a great job bringing in a great team of players that really excels as a group.
Well, thank you. You know, and I think that as good as Elena is, and certainly she's one of the top, you know, three or four players in the country, the rest of our team has really embraced her and embraced the system that we have. And, you know, individuals like Akima Richards and Tremaine Lucas and Danielle Parker and Lauren Carrah have all flourished and done very, very well here and have really stepped up. You know, when you talk about the James Madison game, great atmosphere, great college atmosphere. They had a great crowd down there. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to play in. But when we made our run to take the lead with about 7 or 6 minutes left to go in the game, you know, it was a Lauren Carrah who hit a big jumper, and it was Akima Richards who hit another jumper, and Danielle Parker who scored inside. And obviously Elena's going to get touches as well, and she made a big three-point play. But, you know, it was four or five people that were contributing, not just Elena. And you're right. I think so many people don't realize, you know, what it all goes into to make us the team that we currently are.
You know, you see the numbers that Elena has put up, and yes, she leads the team in scoring and is tops in the country and leads the team in rebounding, but, you know, it's not get the ball to Elena and clear out. It's not just give it to her at the top of the key and let her operate. It's not any of those things in any stretch. She does it all in the course of the flow of the game, and she's not afraid to post inside or go outside as long as it fits whatever's going on.
Yeah, you know, our offense has run through Elena, but obviously the other players have their roles and they play them very well. I think that Danielle Parker has done an outstanding job of, you know, setting screens and then reading the screens, whether she's going to roll inside Danielle or she's going to roll outside, and then obviously Elena finds her, and they play very well together. They've been playing together since the first day that Elena made the decision to play here at Delaware, and I think that's the other big key is these kids all came in with Elena, and they were freshmen, and so they had to grow at the same time Elena did, you know, and I think that's something that's really helped us. Our team chemistry is really outstanding, and we've worked very hard on it. You know, there hasn't come without some bumps and along the road with just everybody accepting their roles and everybody understanding. You know, Lauren Carrah coming off a screen and, you know, looking hard into the post, for example, at an Elena, but then, you know, she uses a screen and comes off of it, and in the James Madison game has to read whether or not she has the lane, you know, pull it up or take it all the way to the basket, and in Lauren's case, she took it all the way to the basket and got a you know, a huge foul and went to the free throw line and added to our cushion, but it was all about her reading Elena's post-up and whether or not she could dribble drive or whether or not she needed to pull up. And so I think that other kids need to, you know, they deserve some credit for what's happening right now with our program because, as you said, you know, we do a lot of things with Elena, but then the other players have to read off of Elena, and they've really embraced that challenge. You know, it's not always the easiest thing to do. And our offenses, you know, it's amazing how many different defenses we've seen, from a box and one to a triangle and two to a hard man-to-man with someone constantly running at Elena. It's very hard to run a pattern offense against those types of junk defenses, if you will. And our kids have to read and react, and they've done a really good job of that. And I don't think that they've been given enough credit for the fact that they have a pretty good understanding of the game and where they need to go to play off of Elena.
It's a very mature young group. You've only got one senior in the rotation that really gets a lot of minutes. There's really, what, about seven people that really do the bulk of the time. And everybody else are juniors. And,
yeah,
you know, it's an experienced group, but they're coming from playing together and everything that goes with that. But at the same time, as you said, to make the read-react decisions and to do the things that they're doing as juniors says a lot for, you know, the head that they all have for the game, too.
Yeah, you know, we've done a lot as far as trying to teach them how to read and react, and the kids have bought into that, you know, and they don't shy away from the fact. I mean, they love Elena, they love playing with her, and in the same token, she loves playing with them. And I think they really enjoy what we're doing right now. I know they do, and they're having a lot of fun together. But I think sometimes it starts to wear a little thin on them, and even Elena a little bit, because she's like, geez, I wish people would understand that, you know, these kids I'm playing with, they're talented, and they're working really hard to screen for me, to make reads, to get me the ball. I mean, when you have two people constantly hanging on you, it's kind of hard to get you the ball, but yet we continually are able to get Elena freed up, and at the same time, she's continuing to find the open people, and then obviously those players need to knock down shots. And there's some pressure that goes along with that, you know, as far as the other kids knocking down shots. When Elena does draw a double or even a triple team and she's kicking it out, you know, hitting that 15-footer knowing that, you know, the ball just came from Elena, you know, they want to hit those shots. So they've really stepped up. They really have, and they have great attitudes about it. And like I said, we've worked hard on team chemistry and players' roles and what we need to do to be successful. I've said it before, you know, Elena, as great as she is, and she's a very good player, you know, she's not going to beat any team in college, I don't care what level, 1-on-5, because this isn't a 1-on-5 game. It takes all five people. And I think that the fact that the other four kids have accepted their roles and have stepped up big time in big time atmospheres and have really knocked down shots and done the things we've asked them to do, I think that deserves some respect. And the kids that I mentioned, who play a lot of minutes, as you said, we're about 7 or 8. We like to go 8. But you know, we're right around that rotation, and those other 7 kids have really stepped up and have done a great job for us, and they deserve that respect.
And now, I saw this team play last year when you were up in New Haven, and I could tell you, for people that haven't necessarily seen this year's group, the additions of Kayla Miller back from injury and the two transfers, Tremaine Lucas and Akima Richards, who both played at big D1 schools, the quote-unquote BCS conferences, really has done quite a bit for the chemistry of the team, too. These girls know how to play. They really have fit in beautifully and just do so many other things on the court in addition to being able to score and rebound. They do the little things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Kayla Miller's been playing with Elena since the 8th grade, so she knows Elena very, very well, and they're very good friends, and certainly that helps with the chemistry. And she understands, you know, where Elena wants the ball and when's the best time to get her the ball, which is great. And that was a big loss for us last year. We did not know until 3 days before the season started that Kayla was going to have back surgery and be out the rest of the time. And then we really had to juggle our lineup, and we didn't have a true point guard. I had a backup point guard, but she was a 1-2. And her natural position was actually the 2-guard spot. And I thought that she would give us, you know, maybe 5 to 8 minutes to give Kayla a rest, because the previous year, Kayla had been playing 32 minutes a game for us, as a sophomore. And then she obviously got hurt. So that was a big blow to the team and really kind of turned us upside down. And then, of course, in the middle of the year, we lost Elena for 13 games. And that was certainly a blow to the team as well. And we still ended up winning 20 games and got to the WNIT. But, to say that we had an injury-ridden season probably was an understatement, you know, from last year. But the two transfers sitting out, Tremaine Lucas and Akima Richards, were terrific. I mean, I watched them in practice on what we call, you know, our gold team, because we're blue and gold, and they were just doing all kinds of great things, and I couldn't wait till there was maybe one or two practices last year where I put them all on the same team, just to give us a little bit of an idea of what we'd look like. And with them playing with Elena, Tremaine has a really good feel for the game. She's a big, strong guard. She can get to the rim. She can shoot the three. And then Akima is like a blur. I mean, she's got a lot of speed. You know, she really helps us get out and transition now. We're a much bit different team from last year's team because we like to run more. And that makes it exciting for our fans, and Akima's a big part of that. She can play very good on-ball defense, and, you know, she really comes up with a lot of steals and gets out and runs, and it gives us a whole different aspect to what we can do as a team. So all three of them, two of which are point guards, was a huge lift to our basketball team this season. And, you know, certainly they went to those BCS schools at West Virginia and at Florida, but they didn't get the time that they obviously felt that they wanted to get. They didn't fit in necessarily with the systems that were being run at those two particular schools. And I think that they feel much more comfortable with what we're trying to do here at Delaware, and they fit in. Their games, if you will, the style they play, fits in very well. And, you know, having them here for a year, even if they were on the gold team, made a big impact. And they were ready to play this year. They were excited. They knew we had the potential to be a good basketball team. And as I said, we worked on the chemistry part of it, and it's turned out very, very well for us.
And, you know, and since we touched on them briefly, I certainly don't want to overlook Lauren Carrai and Danielle Parker. Parker makes things so much easier for Deladon inside on the rebounding side of things. She's number two on the team in rebounding. And Carrai is just fearless when it comes to taking any type of shot that's out there for her.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Lauren has grown by leaps and bounds and has gotten a lot of confidence. She had 22 points in the game against James Madison. And she's really come into her own as a junior. I put her on the best guard to defend, believe it or not. And obviously she's our number two leading scorer. But she just does so many good things for us. And she can shoot the three. She can put it on the floor. And as you mentioned, she's just a tough-as-nails type of kid. She'll dive on the floor for a loose ball. She'll take a charge. I mean, she throws her body all over the place. And it's just really nice to have a hard-nosed kid like that who's willing to do whatever it takes, whether it's defense or knock down the open shot to help our team win. And Danielle Parker is another intriguing story in that she tore her ACL in her going into her senior year in high school and did not even realize it, just thought she had a strain and actually played. She's one of those kids that's a coper that can play with an ACL tear. Played all of her senior year, I should say, in high school with an ACL tear, not knowing it. Came here as a freshman, and actually the third game of her freshman year came to me and said, you know, my knee hasn't been feeling right. It's been bothering me a little bit. She went to the doctor, and sure enough, they said, well, you've been playing without an ACL for over a year and after the MRI. And so obviously she had to have it repaired, sat out her freshman year for the ACL tear, and has just come back and just been, as a junior now, has been a stellar performer. She takes all the big post players, physical type of post players, which takes some of the pressure off of Elena. She'll bang. She'll rebound. She also can get up and down the floor. She's a very good athlete. And, you know, again, I tip my hat to her because she's a tough kid. You know, if you can play without an ACL for a whole year, then, you know, she said, well, it bothered me a little bit, but I kind of brushed it off. That's interesting that a kid would say, well, you know, I tore my ACL, but it bothered me a little bit. But she's a tough kid as well, and I'm just very blessed to have these young ladies playing alongside of Elena. And, you know, and as I said, they've embraced her, and she's embraced them.
And the other thing that a lot of people may not be aware of is that the CAA this year has several strong teams that weren't necessarily strong teams in the past. Things have turned around. You know, for years it was always Old Dominion and everybody else, and you know, you always got into that. But VCU has an All-American candidate. Hofstra has a top 20 Wooden Award finalist. James Madison Brooks always has the team playing well, and we saw that just the other night. And it's going to be a fun conference finish. And that's not to mention that you still have to go to Drexel one more time, too.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule is brutal. And as you mentioned, you know, VCU, Courtney Hurt has been a double-double machine. She tried out for the World University Games along with Elena, is one of those young ladies that was selected by USA Basketball to try out for that team. Terrific player, 6'2", runs the floor, does a lot of great things. At Hofstra, you have Shantae Evans, who, you know, played on the Pan Am team for USA Basketball as well, and has just played tremendous basketball. Big, strong 6'1 kid who can run the floor and do a lot of great things. They've beaten two Big East schools this year. Hofstra had a big win over St. John's, most notably. And then, you know, you look at JMU, and they've got the two transfers from Boston College. And Jasmine Gill, who was a starter at Boston College, and then also Lauren Whitehurst, who's now a fifth-year senior at JMU. So he's got, you know, two ACC transfers on his roster that both start for him, junior and a senior. And so there's a lot of talent in our league with all of these players who can really do so many things and have come from BCS schools as well and found new homes and they're excelling, and they're doing very, very well in our league. We're the seventh best conference in the country right now out of the 32 conferences. So, you know, we play a very good schedule. You know, our RPI has been very high. We've played Penn State and Maryland and Princeton and some other teams, St. Bonaventure, who you mentioned, who's having a tremendous year as well. And, you know, and we're fortunate enough to come out with victories in those games, with the exception of at Maryland at the time. But, you know, it's just a really good league, and it's competitive night in and night out. And it's a fun league, but it's also very challenging.
Well, one question I had, you mentioned the World University Games team that Elena played on and Courtney Hurt tried out for. What do you think that playing on that team added to Elena's game?
Well, you know, at the time, to be honest, once she got done with the season, she was exhausted. She had lost 12 pounds from the Lyme's disease. And, you know, as I mentioned, it was such a broken up season. The first nine games, you know, we were 8-1 with her. Then she missed 13 games, you know, 12 for sure. And then she missed the LaSalle game, which we ended up pulling out and winning. But she only played like the first 3 minutes of that game. So I say it's 13 games. But, and then she obviously came back for the last 8 or 9 games. And that was a really tough year for her, mentally. Because, you know, she started to fall back in love with basketball, and then all of a sudden the game was taken away from her, and she didn't understand what exactly was going on with her body. And she was very tired after the CAA championships and the WNIT, and she came to me and she said, you know, I'd really like to do well in this World University tryout. You know, I want to really start training very hard again. And she got the clearance from the doctors, and let me tell you, she attacked it like it was unbelievable. She was running stadium stairs and lifting weights and really was working as hard as she possibly could work. You know, the individual sessions, and then we had to stop because the school year ended, and under the rules you have to stop. But she just kept on working and working until the trials came. And Beth Cunningham, who's the head coach at VCU, is also on the committee for USA Basketball, and we had a conversation. She said, is she ready? And I said, Beth, I'm telling you right now, the shape that she's in and the mental attitude she has towards this, she might be one of the best players that you guys see in that trial. And sure enough, like the second night, I got a text message from Beth Cunningham saying, you're absolutely right. And I knew the way Elena was attacking that she really wanted to prove what kind of player she was, especially coming off of being sick and losing that weight and just being, you know, weak overall physically. And I knew she was ready for that. And I think it helped her emotionally and mentally to go in there in the best shape she's ever been in and just go after it and play hard. And she did, and she showed. Obviously, she led them in scoring. She led them in rebounding. She showed what type of player she can be on the national stage against some of the best players, obviously, in the country. So it was a big step for her. But I knew she was ready for it, and I knew she wanted it. And you could see in the spring prior to going out there to try out for the team that she wanted to make a statement, and she certainly did.
And she has continued that all year, as we were talking about. There's no question about it. She's having an amazing season right there with Brittany Griner and Nneka Ogwumike for one of the top players in the year, for player of the year candidates. But as we were talking about, there is no question that this team is far more than her. And Coach, I want to congratulate you on the great success that you've had this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing a nice tournament run. Did you ever think, you know, a few years ago that you'd be sitting here and you look at the bracketology and you're a number 4 seed in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I was at Seton Hall back in the mid-90s, and we had gotten, I believe, a 5 seed. And we went to the Sweet 16, and, you know, I didn't know if my career as far as coaching, if I'd ever be blessed again to have a team that, you know, could make a run or at least have an opportunity to get recognized like we're currently being recognized. There's so much more of the season left, and knock on wood, as I knock on wood, I know all too well from my 24 years of coaching as an assistant and a head coach that anything can happen, and we have to stay, you know, healthy, and we have to stay focused on what we need to do, and we can't let things creep in. But this is a fun group to coach. You know, some of the kids have come from different schools, and, you know, maybe wasn't the right situation for them, and now they're here, and they want to prove themselves. And certainly Elena's saga has been one of trials and tribulations, from her getting ill to just getting the love of the game back. And there's a lot of work that's involved in that. I don't think people realize how much. It's not like you can turn a switch on and you can turn a switch off. I mean, we've done a lot of work with this team. So It's an exciting time for us. As I always say, I'm proud to be a Blue Hen right now. But I'm not going to jump too far ahead. I'm not predicting this team to, you know, to do, you know, crazy great things. We're just trying to take it one day at a time. We're trying to be the best that we can be. And, you know, our next game is Thursday at UNC Wilmington, who's won five straight in our league. Talk about another team that's catching fire at the right time. With Cynthia Cooper-Dyke, who's obviously a great WNBA player and played at USC, and but she's done a real good job, so we've got that to take on. So really, honestly, we're just taking it one at a time. But I've been to the NCAA tournament twice, actually, here with Delaware, and then when I was at Seton Hall as an assistant coach as well. It's a great feeling, and I want that feeling for this group of young ladies, for these kids. But we can't look forward to that yet. We've got nine more conference games, and you know, we're just trying to stay in the moment. I hope that this team can fulfill some of the expectations that people are now placing on it, but that's not something that I'm going to dwell on. As I said, we're just trying to take it one day at a time and be the best that we can be. And if God's willing, and, you know, hopefully we'll be healthy by the end of the year, and, you know, hopefully we get a bid and, you know, win our conference. And those are all challenges that face us yet that we have to try to accomplish. So, one step at a time, David, one step at a time. That's what I've been telling the team.
And ironically for me for this week's show, of course, they had you matched up in that current bracketology against one of the other guests on our show this week on people that you should know about, and that's the Florida Gulf Coast University and their three-point shooting machines. So that would be a matchup that would be a lot of fun. But as you said, let's worry about the tournament down the road. Coach, continued success, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing another James Madison rematch in the conference final.
Okay, well, thank you very much. They're a tough team, and they deserve a lot of respect as well. And thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Hi, I'm Elena Deladon, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you back to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoop on Hoop Feed. And on our podcast, we're talking about some of the people and some of the teams that you really should know and you might know about in this year's women's college basketball season. Now, there seems to be a whole bunch of duos and tandems that are really doing well this year that have dominated the headlines in women's college basketball. I mean, we've got the Agwumike sisters out in Stanford, you know, Strickland and Johnson at Tennessee, Hartley and Hayes in Connecticut. And in the Big Ten, there's Samantha Perhalis and Taylor Hill in Ohio State. But what I want to know is, how did the two ladies that are with me right now on the phone not get any consideration in that top 20 list for Player of the Year honors? Because Jordan Hooper and Lindsay Moore can certainly make an argument that Nebraska has the best tandem in the country. Ladies, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good.
I'm doing great. So the first question that I have to ask you guys is based on what I've seen and what I've read, what did you think was the best Michael Jackson song done on Glee last night?
I liked his Smooth Criminal, for sure. I thought they did a really good job. I thought all the songs were awesome, but I liked that one the best probably.
You know, I was just, you know, they sit there, though, and how did they do Ben? You know, you got a love song about a rat.
Yeah. It was so weird. There's actually a character's name Ben on there, and he'd gotten injured in the episode and whatnot, and so they sang to him. I don't know. It was strange. It was really weird.
You know, I just didn't quite get that, but it was a fun episode, that's for sure. That and the other thing is that, you know, at the end when they had the big face-off, I didn't understand how they didn't do Beat It.
Yeah, you know, that's one of, like, his better songs, I think, and so it was kind of weird how they didn't do that. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode.
Well, you know, as you can see, I enjoy watching it as well. And, you know, it's just one of those things that the family gets together on Tuesdays and we can watch something together. So now let's talk basketball. You know, Jordan, first
yeah.
question I have for you is, now, here you sit as a sophomore. You've already putting up some incredible numbers. You got a bunch of 30-point games already this year. And then they turn around and they give you the hometown hero game as a sophomore. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. I really loved that game. It was a lot of fun.
And now, from what I understand, you know, Lindsay, I hear, is the queen of these Captain Crunch cookies. Lindsay, what's a Captain Crunch cookie?
It's kind of like a shortbread cookie. And then for, I guess, like the main ingredient type thing is you put the cereal Captain Crunch in the cookies.
Wow, that sounds good. Now, Jordan, you know, Jeff sent me a note that said Lindsay likes to bake these cookies and you like to eat these cookies.
Yes.
So is that the best thing that she makes?
I don't know if it's her best thing, but I don't know. I think they're pretty good. She makes, and they make a lot too, like the batch or whatever. It makes a ton. So we have cookies for weeks, and they're really good. So.
Well, as Jeff said, you know, she's giving you these assists on and off the court.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Lindsay, you know, this year you put up good numbers last year, but the numbers have gone through the roof this year. What do you attribute the success, the improvement in the overall stats, and just the confidence that you have this year on the court?
Definitely to my team and my coaching staff. They put a lot of trust in me when it comes to play calls and different things like that, and really just given me the ball and enabled me to create and have something happen for other people. So honestly, I give it to them. And you know, without my teammates finishing or making a nice pass to me, I couldn't be basically where I am without them. You know, you don't get an assist unless someone finishes, and we've actually done a really good job this year of finishing and making good shots and whatnot. And so definitely just my team in general.
Jordan, one of the things that's so interesting about your numbers when you look at them this year is, you know, here you're number one in the Big 12, Big 10 in rebounding. But you're also not just a true getting down low and post player. You know, you're shooting record numbers of three-pointers as well and hitting those too.
Yeah, I'm not much of a, I guess, low post presence, you could say. But I am working on it. But I guess I'm not much of a bulldozer down low. I'm more of a I shoot the three a lot, and I don't like being down low too much.
Well, you came in last year as a freshman, and, of course, you had to immediately face the legacy of Kelsey Griffin coming
yeah.
in. How difficult was that coming in with the high expectations, being the local girl, you know, after and coming off the incredible season that she had that year?
I don't know if it wasn't that intimidating, I guess. I guess I have high expectations for myself, so I guess those extra expectations weren't that bad. I mean, I had like the same expectations for myself, so it wasn't coming into anything different, I guess. So I don't know. I just played. I didn't really worry about who I was living up to or wasn't living up to. I just played my own game.
Lindsay, how do you compare Kelsey's game to Jordan's, having played with both of them?
You know, both of them are extremely hard workers. You know, they don't take possessions off by any means. The biggest difference I think I would see between them two is Kelsey was more getting to the hoop and low post presence, you know, and she had unbelievable moves around the hoop. And, you know, and then if you look at Hooper can knock down the three. You know, she's a really tough guard because if you do stick a guard on her, she's tall enough and lengthy enough to just shoot it right over you if you don't have your hand up especially, you know, but she's a lot more comfortable shooting the outside shot than Kelsey was.
You know, Lindsay, you know, your bio and all talks about Jason Kidd as being your favorite player.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kidd has not scored 14 or 16 points a game in his entire career.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, at least you're getting off the path there a little bit and showing some offensive skills that are pretty impressive in the points selections too.
Yeah. You know, I just growing up though, I always watched Jason Kidd, and you know, I always thought it was really cool how he could pass the ball. And honestly, if I could get away with not shooting, I probably wouldn't shoot. You know, if I could just pass the ball, I would love to do that. But when it comes down to it, and you know, we need a bucket or whatnot, you know, I'll look to shoot. And you know, I just want to win. So if that means I need to score 14 a game, 2 a game, whatever, it doesn't matter. I just want to win.
You know, I'd like to hear from both of you on this one. You know, Jordan, why don't we start with you? This year, being in the Big Ten as opposed to the Big 12. What have you found to be the biggest difference in the two conferences?
That's a tough one. I don't know if there's really that much difference. I mean, they're both really, really good conferences. They have really athletic kids, really good teams, really good coaches. I don't really know if there was really that big of a difference for me personally, just because, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing every week. You have to go and you have to scout each team really well. You can't take any teams off. You have to worry about what they have in store for you, and you have to play your hardest every game.
Lindsay?
I think the biggest difference is I think the depth. I could be wrong with – I haven't looked at the Big 12 this year much, but I think that the Big 12 is definitely deeper when you go into, like, people's benches. Here in the Big 10, you have, like, your top three guards, and then you might have just one guard sub. And I think that's the biggest difference that I noticed from coming from the Big 12 to the Big 10.
You know, well, how about the fact that you're not facing Brittany Griner this year? That's got to be something that's a little bit of a perk.
Yeah, it is. She's a great player and definitely a presence.
You know, I've always wondered, you spend your time – now, Lindsay, you're a junior, and Jordan, it probably has less impact on you being a sophomore. You spend your time, you study these schools, you've run through things during practices. You think by the time you're a junior, like in Lindsay's case, you're starting to get down a little bit about some of the tendencies and things of other teams. And then you turn around and you jump conferences, and you got to start learning all over about all these different players again. You know, Lindsay, you come in and you have to face Samantha Perhalis right away. And then, of course, you've got some of these other guards like Bentley. And, you know, the Big Ten has some serious talent there. And Jordan, the Big Ten certainly likes to bang people and inside – Their forwards tend to be a little bit more physical, I think. So, you know, you get used to playing one type, and then you have to play another.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely weird, personally, that I had 2 years of experience in the Big 12, and then now I have 2 years in the Big 10. You know, but it's also exciting because then you don't go to the scout knowing exactly what the coaches are going to tell you, how we're going to play the teams. You know, you get a different style and a different look at different teams, and you know, and it's kind of exciting not knowing everyone on the scouting report. You know, it's like, oh well, what's this person going to do? And then you get to watch what they do and different things like that. So I think it's pretty exciting.
And now we've got the rest of the season coming up. You know, you're in a great position. There's yourselves along with Ohio State and Purdue all fighting it out for the top. And you know, Purdue comes tomorrow, and then you've still got to play at Minnesota, at Michigan State, and, of course, you bring in Michigan and then Ohio State for senior day. Tough schedule the rest of the way, but, like you said, probably something that you're looking forward to, I would expect, those important games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's, like Cooper said, it's you can't take a day off in the Big Ten, honestly. It's everyone's battling. Everyone wants to do well in league. You know, so it's definitely going to be a challenge, and there's not an easy week that we'll have coming up. It's everything's going to be a grind.
Now, Jordan, now tomorrow you play Purdue. Well, actually, this will air that day, right before the game. In particular, you know, the big thing with them obviously is the 3-point shooting of Rayburn, in addition to, you know, the other facets of the game. How do you prepare for somebody that plays a forward position? That can swing between the forward and guard like her. You know, you like to play on the perimeter and play as well, but then they have their big posts. Yeah, how do you get ready for a game like that?
We're I guess preparing the same way we have for every other team thus far. I guess we're kind of changing some defense here and there, but other than that, we're just working really hard in practice every day. We watch a lot of film. We're gonna know her tendencies, and we're gonna hopefully be able to stop her, stop their whole team, and we're just gonna, I guess, work every day in practice until tomorrow, so we can get where we want to be.
Now, Jordan, you know, you look at these things that they give you each time, and it says the other thing that I saw, in addition to, you know, talking about you know, the player, the hometown hero and stuff, is now you grew up on a farm in Nebraska.
Yeah, a ranch. Yeah.
So how do you love hot dogs? Of all, you know, I would have thought that it would be something a little more natural.
I don't know. I like all foods. I like steak and hamburgers and everything. That's what we raise cattle and stuff like that. So I love all that stuff. But I don't know. There's just something about hot dogs. I just love them. I could just eat them for every meal. Well, except breakfast. That's gross. But I could just eat them all the time.
No, breakfast, you know, with the, that's an interesting facet of the Captain Crunch cookies, you know, cereal. You know, that does that count for breakfast, Lindsay, the Captain Crunch?
I think it does. I mean, I think if it has cereal in it, you might as well just call it a breakfast.
Jordan, What's the toughest thing you've juggled other than your course load and playing basketball?
I don't know. That's probably the toughest thing I have is just the amount of work you have to put in off the court. People don't really realize the amount of work that you put in, like, behind the scenes, I guess. It's not just come out and play a game every once a week. You have to do all the other stuff, too. So I guess that's probably the most difficult.
And, Lindsay, you know, you're getting some reputation now in press as being one of the top point guards in the country. You know, that's some pretty heady stuff. And, you know, from coming and switching conferences and everything that went with that and going to a school that, you know, is a football school by everybody's, you know, everybody claims, how cool is that to be getting the kind of, you know, press and acknowledgement for the amount of work that you put in and, you know, seeing the team start to really get some momentum?
You know, it's really nice, and honestly, I feel really honored to be getting that kind of press because, you know, it's not often that you go to a school that's not really known for their women's basketball, you know, and you receive that, so I think it's really cool. You know, and just a lot of hard work is starting to pay off. And yet I still have a long ways to go. I have a lot to improve on and stuff. But it definitely, the support here at Nebraska has been huge, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to come here. So I love everything about it, and I couldn't be happier with my decision.
Well, ladies, I want to wish you the best of luck the rest of the way. And, you know, what people have to realize is, you know, this team is still a secret. You know, you're sitting there, you're ranked number 16 now, but, you know, you've only got 3 losses. There are teams that are ahead of you that have more than that, and those losses are only to Penn State, Georgia Tech, and Ohio State, all teams that have been ranked highly through this season. So, you know, I think the respect has been a little bit late coming, but I think it's starting to get there finally for the Huskers.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate that.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
And hopefully we're going to see you guys on some television pretty soon with the Big Ten Network. And we're going to see you in the NCAA tournament come March and April.
Yep, awesome.
Good luck to you the rest of the way. And thanks again for taking some time being with us today.
Thank you.
Listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel on Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed. And the theme of this week's show, as we discussed in the opening, is things that you should know about this year's NCAA women's basketball season, and you don't necessarily know, but you really should. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about right now is the Florida Gulf Coast University. And I'm pleased to have head coach Carl Smesko with me now. Coach, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Coach, this is your 10th year at Florida Gulf Coast. You're the only coach in the history of the program, and you've won 84% of the games. That's an amazing record.
Yeah, we've had a lot of success here. We've got a great university here, and it's in a beautiful setting in Southwest Florida. So there's a lot of things in place that help us be successful. But you know, at the same time, we've been able to attract great players who've made us look pretty good over the years.
Well, Coach, I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit in that success too. You know, they talk about Paul Westhead out in Oregon as being the guru of Go, but, you know, you are definitely one of the top offensive minds in women's college basketball as, you know, you look at and the stats on this year's team and where you're falling in a national standing is incredible, especially, you know, for our listeners, you're 4th in scoring margin in the country. The 3 teams that are ahead of you are only Baylor, Notre Dame, and Connecticut. Not exactly lightweights.
No, that's a good group of women's basketball programs you'd want to be associated with. Yeah, we try to take to have a good scoring margin. You have to take pride in all facets of the game. So, you know, a lot of people bring a lot of attention to our offense because it's a different style and it's something that most people haven't seen before. You know, we still, you know, we lead our conference in scoring defense, and if you're going to be good at offense or defense, you're going to have to really be good at conversion. And so we try to emphasize all 3 phases.
Well, for the people that haven't seen you, which unfortunately is a lot of them, talk about your offensive system for a few minutes and let everybody know about what goes on with the Eagles.
Well, we've kind of invented an offense here, and it kind of evolves over time. But it's based on, my studying of some of the great coaches, the Bob Knights and the Krzyzewskis and many others. But good screening, fundamentals, good reading of defense. But, we don't play with any traditional post players. We keep the offense spread out, and we're constantly screening and reading defense and trying to create as many scoring opportunities as we can. We utilize the three-point shot a lot. We're number one in the nation in number of three-point shots made per game. We're usually right up there, one or two in the nation. So we try to play a wide-open style that players would enjoy playing, and then at the same time, make sure that we take care of the ball and our shot selection is what it needs to be. And we just have some discipline in a very, let's say, open environment.
Well, you're also seventh in the country in three-point field goal percentage. So they're not just chucking up shots for the point of chucking up shots. They're taking good shots and they're knocking them down. You've got a veteran team this year. You brought back four starters, and you've got six seniors and four juniors, and I'm sure that certainly helps in the success, as the team sits here at 19-2 and undefeated in conference right now.
Yeah, first about the shot selection that you mentioned, we're not a run and gun team, even though we shoot a large number of threes. We understand what shots we want to get as a team, and then we have gotten off to a good start. We have a lot of experienced players, I've been proud of our team. We our second leading scorers missed the last 5-6 games, and we've been able to continue to win without just a kid that's probably going to be a first team all conference player, and some other kids have been banged up and missing practice and all that, but they get out there and they compete, and they've found a way to win despite it. So hopefully we can keep it continued. It's a long season, and keeping everybody's focus and energy up and everybody healthy isn't always the easiest thing to do. But, you got the last month here before the conference tournament, and then hopefully postseason play after that. And we're just trying to get better and trying to clean things up at this point of the year.
Well, you got six players that are scoring over 8 points per game. And I mentioned all the seniors and juniors, but the leading scorer and leading rebounder and also leading in steals is a redshirt sophomore, and that's Sarah Hansen, who was a preseason all-conference choice and a returning all-conference choice from freshman year.
Yeah, Sarah Hansen, we redshirted her freshman year because we thought she could be a really good player, but she had a couple all-conference players in front of her. So we sat her out a year. She got a chance to learn the system. And then, last year she just had a breakthrough year, and it was, we lost two all-conference players at the position she would play, and a lot of people thought we might take a step backwards, but she was a huge reason why we didn't. She just was able to score. She's able to handle the ball. She defends and make plays. As you said, she's also our leading rebounder. She's just an exceptional all-around player, and she has the right attitude about getting better. And, she's going in. Even now, there's a few things that we're trying to correct right now, and she's got the right attitude about it. And, that's why she's always going to be a great player.
Well, in the collegeinsider.com mid-major poll, boy, that's a mouthful. You're sitting at number three right now behind Green Bay and Delaware, both top 20 teams, and ahead of, some of the quote-unquote name teams like Gonzaga. What do we got to do to get Florida Gulf Coast into the top 20? On the coaches poll, you've got more support than, say, even Brigham Young, who made the writers top 25. It looks like the word is starting to get out about Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I think, it's a process. We've only been Division I for 5 years, and this is the first year we're actually eligible for the NCAA tournament. Fortunately, we still were able to compete in the NIT, the WNIT, for the past 4 years. We made it each season as we were waiting for our opportunity to get to go to the NCAA. But I mean, those things probably need to happen for, you know, writers to really pay attention to you. If you get to an NCAA tournament and are able to win some games, I think people will, you know, pay attention. Coaches, you know, they're probably they're the most geared in to our sport, and I think we have a very good reputation with all the coaches that have seen us play and how we play, and that's probably why we get a little more mention from that side of the aisle. And but you know, we're pretty honored to be mentioned along the teams that we've been mentioned with, and we're going to just try to continue to get better. And you know, hopefully, we're consistently a team that can go to the NCAA tournaments and, you know, eventually be a regular in the top 25. That's our goal here, and we do think it's possible. It does take a lot of work and a lot of dedication from our players, and so far they're willing to do it.
Well, the ASUN conference is certainly nothing to really be screaming about, but, you know, in case our listeners aren't aware, you have played, you know, your two losses were to North Carolina State and Hawaii, and at Seton Hall in the first game of the season. But you've knocked off some, you know, Michigan State, Richmond, Virginia Tech, UCF. You know, you've played some very good out-of-conference schools and racked up some wins.
Well, we do. That's something that we want to do every year, is have a really strong non-conference schedule. You know, we try to play some of our in-state rivals and then also play some BCS-type schools. So that's where the UCF and the Florida Internationals come in. We want, you know, we're hoping to have a long-standing relationship with them. And then, you know, last year we played Indiana, Seton Hall, and Virginia Tech, and, you know, we beat all those teams in the regular season. And this year we've played some more BCS, and as you said, we've had some success. But that's just how we want to schedule. We want to get to the point where the majority of our non-conference schedule is BCS schools. Now, there's still enough BCS schools that are willing to play that's, you know, possible. Obviously, as you have more success, scheduling becomes more and more difficult. But, you know, we've been pretty fortunate in that a lot of people don't mind coming to Southwest Florida. It's a good place to take their team and get good competition. So we've been able to get some name opponents in our arena, which is a big help.
This is true. I mean, I figured, you know, Tricia Collip, when I interviewed her earlier this year, talked about the difficulty in getting opponents to schedule Toledo, but I would say that Western Florida is probably a little more attractive than Toledo, Ohio, in November.
Well, I'm from Ohio, and I love Ohio, but, you know, the kids get excited about a Florida trip, and it's something that you could definitely tell recruits about, that, hey, we're going to be taking a trip to Florida next year or the year after or whatever it is, and so that definitely – that definitely is a selling point, and you know, it gives us more of an opportunity to schedule some big name schools than maybe some of the mid majors in other parts of the country that have had great success.
Now, the ASUN gets an automatic WNIT bid, correct? If they win the conference tournament.
Well, the ASUN champion of the conference tournament gets an automatic to the NCAA tournament, and then the next highest team available gets an automatic bid to the WNIT.
Gotcha. I always get confused on the smaller conferences as to what it is. So then should you roll through the tournament, you know, then it takes away even the variable of whether they should select you as an at-large.
Yeah, we definitely, I mean, that's a big weekend for our whole conference, obviously, but for us in that, you know, getting at-larges from, you know, mid-major conferences is very difficult to do. So, you know, you can have a really great season, and a lot of times it comes down to one weekend. And, you know, you hope you're playing your best basketball. You hope you're healthy. You're hoping a lot of things, you know, kind of fall in the right places that one weekend.
Well, it looks like you're on a collision course with a rematch against Stetson. Your two teams, you're sitting here at 11-0, they're 9-2 in conference, and they gave you a real tough game in the first time you played them.
Yeah, they sure did. They're an extraordinarily talented team. I mean, they had the preseason conference of the year at point guard, and she's an exceptional player and fills up the stat sheet. And then they have a two guard that is a transfer that both their guards are transferred, D1 transfers, but transfer from Cincinnati, who is on the Big East All Freshman team. So that gives you an extraordinary backcourt, and their three player was on the All Freshman team last year and is probably going to be a first team All Conference player this year. So you're looking at, you know, out of five spots, they could get as many as three first team All Conference players. They've put together quite a bit of talent in one place there, and they've been playing great basketball all year, and the game went down literally to the last minute, and just fortunately we made the last play.
Coach, before I let you go, just two quick things. Why don't you give a little shout-out to some of the players on your team so that some of the people can know exactly who – we talked about Sarah Hansen, but can you talk about a couple of the other players on your team?
I'd love to. Very deserving. We have a kid that can play anywhere on the floor named Courtney Cheehill, who's a 5'8 kid that'll guard 6'4 posts or guards, and is just one of the toughest kids that, you know, I've ever been around, and just an incredibly smart basketball player. And, you know, sometimes she doesn't get the credit she deserves because she doesn't score huge amounts of points. She is very unselfish and a lot of times maybe passes up shots she should take, but just a tremendous basketball player and just a winner, and creates so many things for us because of her versatility. Our starting point guard is Brittany Kennedy. She joined us halfway through the season this year, so we really didn't have our starting point guard until around Christmas time. And now she's developed and getting a good feel for the way we do things and how we run our offense, and she's getting better all the time, and she's made a huge difference for us, especially on the defensive end. We have Kelsey Jacobson, who's our starting two guard. She's the NCAA Division I all-time leader in three-point shots made, and, you know, I misspoke there. Active leader of people that are still playing. No one's made more three-point shots than she has. We got Egla Griffin, who's probably our three player, although we don't actually have a number system, but people would identify her as a three, and she's one of the top three-point shooters in the nation and a good defender. A kid that's been sitting out for us, Nikoya Jackson, was our second leading scorer, you know, a guard that averaged over four rebounds a game, great assist-to-turnover ratio, and a tremendous defender. And we're hoping to get her back in the very near future, and she makes a huge difference for us. We're a much different team when she's able to play and, you know, hopefully get to 100%. And, you know, we have kids off the bench that, you know, Whitney Knight, who is our first top 100 recruit, she's, you know, learning our system and getting better all the time. And this past game, you know, I don't think we probably beat Kennesaw State without her. She came in and gave us such a big spark and got big minutes for us. And, you know, we've just different kids, like Amber Reaches has filled a role and come up big for us in some games. And Sarah Whitfield is another senior who's given us solid minutes every time. And, you know, you need a team of everybody gets a chance to contribute. You need a team of people ready to step up. And, you know, I think we've had that.
Most definitely, Coach. Your team is having a phenomenal run. And, you know, being up here, though, in Connecticut, I would be remiss if I didn't ask how our old friend Mel Thomas is doing down there.
Well, Mel Thomas has a lot of energy. She's our director of operations. She's an author of a book. There's still people that come to the game asking her to sign her book. And she's still a little bit of a celebrity down here. And, you know, we get a lot of people from the Midwest, but also from the Northeast that come down. And so they remember her very well from her playing days and her big UConn fans. And so Mel's done a great job with us, especially, you know, on campus with you know, if recruits are in and they get a chance to meet her, she's got that personality that people enjoy being around. But she's doing well down here, and she's going to be finishing up her master's this spring.
Well, Coach, with that three-point system you got going out of here, I heard she's petitioning the NCAA for more years.
Yeah, she can really shoot it. Like, I didn't realize just how good a shooter she was until I saw her play noon ball against some of our other staff here. I mean, she's an exceptional athlete, but she's got a smooth stroke as well.
Well, Coach, I want to wish you the best of luck the rest of the year, and I'm looking forward to seeing you crash the NCAA tournament this year and make a splash in that first year of eligibility. I think that there's a legitimate chance of Florida Gulf Coast University making some big noise and possibly putting a couple upsets on some people.
Yeah, well, we're rooting for the same thing. We know it won't be easy, but we're hopefully up to the challenge.
Coach, you take care and good luck.
All right, thank you.
Hi, everybody. David Siegel, and welcome you back to Dishin' and Swishin'
this
the world.
This is Dan Hughes, the San Antonio Silver
and
Star.
As I had mentioned,
you
before,
are listening
we
to Dishin' and Swishin' and enjoying
that you
every
really
minute of
know
it.
About this year's NCAA women's season that you may not know. And one of those teams and one of those people that you should know about is the Bonnies of St. Bonaventure. And Coach Jim Crowley joins us at this time. Coach, welcome to Dishin' and Swishin'. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, when people have talked in recent years about the A-10, it seems to start and end with Xavier, maybe some throw-in of Temple. But, you know, St. Bonaventure is on a roll and has won 20 games or more each of the last few seasons and is sitting at 20-2 overall, undefeated in conference play, and getting those votes, number 26 in the AP poll this week. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you very much. It's been a long climb, but it's something we certainly appreciate, the recognition.
Well, you know, you talk about the climb. I mean, it was only in 2002, 2003 that you guys were 6-22, and then, you know, you've done it the right way. You've got a campus of only 2,000 enrolled, and, you know, you built up to 9 wins, then 16, 18, and now this is 4 straight with 20. So talk for a second. How difficult is it in a campus in a small area? You know, you're in upstate New York where people just are not exactly flocking to the winter months.
That's a nice way to say it. You know, it is something. Every school has challenges when it comes to recruiting, and I think early in my tenure we focused on worrying about those challenges too much instead of accentuating the positives that our university has. And you know, we have great people here. It's a great education, and you know, we really knew there was a market for people who wanted that, who wanted a small school education, who wanted a chance to still play high level basketball. And you know, we adjusted some things we did with how we played, which helped us with recruiting, and we were fortunate to have some players in our program who just had an incredible competitive spirit and just wouldn't take failure as an option, and they were willing to believe in us as coaches, and that started kind of the mentality and has carried over, and you know, we just have a group right now that is very experienced and really knows each other, both good and bad, on and off the floor, and that builds a lot of trust and you know, makes them fun to work with.
I mean, you've got back all 5 starters, and you know, but the team is second in the conference in scoring defense, first in field goal percentage defense, and you're doing it by playing a lot of players, a lot of minutes. You're spreading it out, and you've got, as I look, I see, I think about 7 or 8 players all scoring, averaging over 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, you know, that's something. We have good players, so good players need to play, and it's a long, long season. You know, one thing I've learned doing this is, you know, you go from September to March, hopefully, and that's a lot of time, and you're practicing 6 days a week, and, you know, we have a lot of long travel, and, you know, even the best-conditioned kid is going to get tired, and, you know, when you're younger as a coach and you realize you burn some people out, you try to correct that, and again, fortunately, we have people who can give us different things at different times and, you know, accept that and really embrace that. And, you know, it's great to have that, and we're fortunate to be able to utilize that. And you know, our kids aren't afraid of the good and the bad that they do. And, you know, right now things are going well.
And, you know, you're 20-2. The 2 losses are not exactly teams to sneeze about. We've got Delaware, ranked, of course, in the top 20, and Big East, Villanova. always a tough matchup to play. And you're not exactly playing nobody's in the out of the conference schedule either. I mean, you played those two. You got Indiana. You got Marist. You beat St. John's and West Virginia on the road. I mean, those are quality opponents.
Well, thank you, and you know, I give our those coaches who play us a ton of credit because they were willing to do home and homes, and you know, were willing to take on us and play against us, and you know, we were fortunate that we caught some teams early when our experience was able to kind of help us achieve victory. But you know, one thing that's happened here the last few years, and you know, that our kids love to compete, and they enjoy competing against the best teams in hostile environments. It's a fun thing to watch, and we just try to set it up. And we thought this could be a pretty good year for us, so we didn't want to screw them up and not give them a challenging enough schedule to look back and say, oh, geez, we should have played these games. You know, fortunately, we were able to have success in the games we've played, and, you know, who knows where that will take us in a month or so, but we know that people can't take that away from us, and our kids are very proud of that.
Let's talk about a couple of those kids, and we might as well start right up at the top and start with that senior, Jessica Jenkins, who broke the 1,000 point club this year and is the leading scorer at just about 15 points a game, fourth in the A-10.
Jess is something very special. You know, we had early morning practice today, and then she was in the gym for another nearly 2 hours, taking another, you know, anywhere from 500 to 1,000 shots. And she does it daily. And she, coming into her senior year, she had been very good. It was a spot player as a freshman who impacted some games, and then started as a sophomore and got better as a junior, and, you know, could have kind of taken some time off or relaxed heading into her senior year. Instead, she got in the best shape of her life and worked on things she needed to, and has come in and not just improved as a player, but also improved as a leader and stepped outside of her comfort zone to really impact the team off the floor as much as she does on the floor. And, you know, that's something that I know is difficult for her at times, but not as difficult as losing. And she's going to do all she can to help us win. And she's really, really a special, special kid. And we're very fortunate to have had her around for 4 years.
And the other senior leader on the team very clearly is Megan Van Tatenhoff, which I think I got right that time.
You did.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. They actually were born, they have the same birthday. They were born on the same day, one in Ohio, one in Wisconsin. And, you know, they end up at our place in, you know, upstate New York and have helped take our program to heights we never were sure we could get to. So it's kind of a neat story that way. And they are very different personality-wise, but almost exactly the same in one thing. They love to compete. Meg is a very skilled 6'1 player and causes matchup problems because she's as comfortable near the paint as she is outside and playing off the bounce, and is a very good jump shooter and really good at relocating off other people's actions. And, you know, again, another kid that likes to play against the best and isn't afraid of that and really thrives with it.
And she was second team all-conference last year as well, so this is not something that has just suddenly popped onto the scene. People knew about her in advance, and she's still putting up the good numbers. And
yeah, she had a great year last year, and actually hasn't played her best game this year, to be very honest with her, yet. With Yashia, she missed some games and had some lingering effects from a concussion, and really just in the last week or two has gotten her full wind and her feel back for the game. So we're excited for where her play is going to be in February.
One of the things that's interesting when you look at the roster that you have there, now, you know, you think of the smaller schools, and you know that you're going to pick up some people, like you said, like Megan is from Ohio, from Wisconsin, you know, and Jessica from Ohio. But you got a pretty good New York City connection there. I mean, and it's interesting that you've got the two from Murray Bergetrum and Harlem that are both that are sophomores. That I certainly recognize the name Dixon being in Connecticut, as you've got Lauren's little sister Cece. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, we're very fortunate. I have an assistant on my staff, Priscilla Edwards, who's from New York City and actually played for us, was a really good player for us, and has stayed on board as an assistant coach and has that connection to the city. And then we have a senior who also played at Murray Bertram, Amelia Horton, who has really been a key to our success this year. Her defensive ability, her ability to get in the paint, her leadership has just been a huge part of what we've been able to do. And you know, so I think when we recruited Cece and Doris, they had that familiarity of having some people who, you know, survived or thrived, it would be the better word, from going from the city out to our place. And, you know, we were real fortunate to get both of those players. And, you know, they had good freshman year, certainly helped us win some games last year, but they keep getting better. And, you know, the last three games Doris has played, she's really come on strong. And Cece changes games. You know, as you said, you're familiar with Lauren. Cece has some of that same speed and really solid athleticism. She's becoming a very good shooter and a great decision maker. And, you know, those two are used to winning. You win a lot at Murray Bertram, and they played for a great high school coach. And, you know, they've come in and carried that winning mentality over into the college game.
You know, this year I mentioned earlier about how in the past, you know, Xavier and the career of Harris and Phillips was such a dominant program. You don't normally get people like that in the A-10, 6'5", 6'6" players. But is it a lot more fun to have it wide open like it is this year? I know from the fans' perspective and from, you know, my type of perspective like that, I love seeing teams like yours and Duquesne, Temple, you know, Richmond always, Charlotte, are all strong teams fighting it out.
You know, it is. I would bet, you know, Xavier and Kevin, when he was there, would say it was pretty fun what he had going. But for the rest of the league, it was very difficult, you know, because you could play really well, but you weren't ever going to be able to rebound at their level. And I thought some of the people's game plans against them and the way they played were terrific. But, you know, Kevin did an incredible job, and those kids were so competitive. And they had another great point guard there, Special Jennings, who really made them go as well. But, you know, what's happened over the last few years, and I don't know if I'm fortunate enough or how I would say it to be the longest tenured head coach in the A-10, so I've seen a lot of different things. But over the last, you know, probably 5-6 years, we did a little different scheduling thing for our non-conference, and it's really taken off to make our league incredibly competitive. And if you look back over the last, you know, 5-6 years, while Xavier was winning the league, the 2-8 teams were very good and all going to postseason and doing well there. And, you know, and you mentioned a whole bunch of them. St. Joe's is another one that is really good. And, you know, now LaSalle and Fordham are making some great strides. And, you know, it's become a league that is just a battle every single night. And where it used to be way back when I first started, it was, you know, Xavier and George Washington that were a notch above in Temple. And now, you know, any night anybody can get anybody. And I do agree. That's the way it should be. That's the way conference play should be. And I would say probably in the last at least five, probably close to 8 years, this will be the most wide-open conference tournament that we've had.
And you did mention you are the longest tenured coach. I mean, there's some great young talent in there as well that's come up. And it's got to be a challenge to coach against these people every night too.
It is, but it's fantastic. I mean, just a great, great coaches league. And, you know, I know our coaches do a great job of trying to make sure that we get a little more national recognition. And certainly, you know, the last few years, the NCAA committee has noticed as well with us getting three teams in. But, you know, we at times feel like people don't realize how good our league is, and not just because of the players, but, you know, the coaches work so hard and are so intelligent, and it's a battle. And it's what you want, though. You want to go against people that are going to bring out your best every night, and that's certainly what happens in the Atlantic 10.
Well, before we go, since we're going to be seeing you in the postseason, why don't you give a little bit of a heads up to everybody on some of the other players on your team? We talked about the two leaders, but this team is more than just two players. It's definitely, as I mentioned, a number of players getting a lot of minutes and doing a lot of things.
Yeah, and you know, one kid who gets overlooked and shouldn't, but is an incredibly vital cog to everything we do is Elena Walker. She is the best defensive player we have, and plays hard every single play. Is a terrific rebounder as well as being a great defender. Finishes around the basket, gets herself to the foul line, and again, if there's loose balls or loose rebounds, she goes and gets them. You know, she regularly will have a game with, you know, 7 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and no turnovers. And, you know, just a great value for us to have on the floor. You know, we mentioned Doris, we mentioned CeCe, who are obviously playing well. Chelsea Boker is a kid that, you know, started a lot of games last year, and we shifted to a person coming off the bench because we felt we needed more scoring with our second group, kind of, you know, the NBA mentality there, and she has thrived in that role. A great shooter and has added the ability to go off the bounce, especially over the last 5-6 games, and again, another kid that's a good passer off the bounce, and, you know, is someone who's a smart defender and really gives us another dangerous player because, you know, she can have 3, 4, 5 threes in a game and can really help open up the defense even more with that ability. Jenny Ashton is a senior for us who, you know, didn't play a lot early in her career, but is someone that is our tallest and biggest kid and also plays our hardest. And when you have that and you have a kid who's willing to just attack the rebounds every time a shot goes up and plays tough defense and just is after every loose ball, that's a great motivator and something that really helps our team each game. You know, we talked about Amelia Horton and her value and just her ability to get into the paint and finish and find people and her defensive rebounding that is something that helps us win a lot of games, especially being one of the smaller teams that's in the Atlantic 10. And then in our regular rotation, Jordan McGee is a junior college transfer who's getting better every day, the best athlete we have on the team, and also a kid who plays really hard and is embracing a great defensive role for us and a great rebounding role. And, you know, so we try to go 9 deep. Ashley Zahn is a 10th and knocking on the door of getting in that rotation. She works really hard, is a very dangerous shooter, and someone that we feel comfortable with using to stretch the defense and getting better at other things. And then Tatiana Wilson is a freshman who is an incredible personality for our team and has a great strength and is going to be a good player as time goes on. She just is behind a lot of experienced ones right now.
You know, Coach, you only got 11 players on this team. I mean, you get a couple injuries and you're running a little on the lean side.
Well, we've got a great trainer, so hopefully that doesn't happen. But we also, you know, we try not to burn them out too much in practice. And, you know, I mentioned Priscilla Edwards is one of my assistants. My other assistant is Kate Octor, who was an All-American point guard at Bowling Green. So we throw those two in there as well. And, you know, we find a way to make it work.
You know, I recognized the name Kate Octor when I saw it there. It was funny because earlier today I spoke to, you know, coach of Florida Gulf Coast. We were talking about Mel Thomas filling in there and shooting three-pointers. You know,
right.
Bringing in Kate Actor to play point guard. And it's like, you know, these coaches can handle themselves against the teams these days.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Coach, I want to wish you the best of luck as we continue through the final stretch of the regular season and then head to the A-10 tournament. You know, it'll be great to see a St. Bonaventure team without Bob Lanier to crack the top 25.
You know, Bob still does a lot for our university and certainly is synonymous with St. Bonaventure, but I really appreciate you having me on, David, and it's been a fun ride so far, and we look forward to a great February, and thank you for what you do for women's basketball to get more information out there and to take the time to notice some of the smaller programs like ourselves and get us some recognition. It's very much appreciated.
Well, it's my pleasure, Coach. Continue the great work that you're doing there and the great ride. And looking forward to seeing you in the NCAA tournament. I saw that you, Charlie Cream had you looking pretty solid in today's bracketology.
February's a long month, David. February's a long, long month.
Take care and good luck.
Thank you very much.